Here's what it is. In 2010, there were 11 homicides in that year, in 2010. In 2011, so keep in mind 2010, halfway through is when we started praying. I wish we could have had 2009 on here. I got to maybe go back and try to find that. But 2011, there was only 7 homicides. And in 2012, there's been only 6. Now, I want to say this. 2012, we've noticed that there's been kind of some fragmentation that's happened with the 24/7. So when we pray this coming Friday, that's the day we take the first Friday of every month, Church on the Move is responsible for, and we have broken the entire 24 hours into one-hour sections, and it's covered by different individuals. Next month, I'll see if I can get a brand new sheet, so if you'd like to sign up and be part of that 24/7 prayer, we can add you to that list. On a Yakima County basis, 2010, 26 homicides, 2011, 22, 2012, 14. Now, keep in mind, that's including the Lower Valley, where there's a lot of activity that is, you know, very criminal type of activity or gang activity. And so to see this happening, how many think that this is a coincidence? I mean, I'm sure if you probably look at most cities, you're going to see these statistics going up. You know, it seems to be getting darker and darker. So I'm believing that our prayer that we're praying, even though we don't have the whole month covered yet, is changing things. And how many can agree with me that we can believe for 0 homicides in Yakima?
Yes.
Why not? Why not? Why not the presence of God so strong here that kind of evil has no place? How about can we believe that there's going to be no human trafficking in Yakima? That those evil entities can't even stay in this place. Somebody was praying, I think it was Rick Snodgrass this morning, and he was saying, God, if your presence could be so strong here that no evil could stay, because it can't stay in your presence. And I believe that. That's pretty radical thinking for this day. But it's the truth, guys. We just have to believe it. We have to say yes to what God says. And if we can get that in our lives on a daily basis, where we let him inhabit us, where we let him dwell in us, as he's already there, but we let him have we acknowledge him first that he's there, and then we give him the room to be there, guess what, man? Things will transform in lives around us. And if that happened in churches all over the city, man, Yakima would be changed. And that's what we're praying for and believing for. Amen? So if you want one of those sheets, even though you're not signed up, if you'd like to take 15 minutes, 20 minutes, that is a sheet that gives you an outline of what the prayer committee has basically felt that the Lord is putting on their heart for us to pray about. And so there's a unity, there's an agreement in the city, in the county, of what we're praying about. And so, you know, hundreds of people, possibly thousands of people, are praying during the month based on that sheet. And that's an agreement. And how many know when two or more are in agreement, things take place, homicides drop. All right, praise the Lord. So I don't know why, well, I can't take any credit for this message. I can't. So it like almost always requires me to give an explanation of how this message came about, you know, so that you guys just don't think like, Pastor Mike came up with something really weird. No, Pastor Mike didn't come up with nothing, because I was getting up this morning. And I don't know how many of you know, but I just so that you're aware, about June or so June or so of this year, the Lord put on my heart that he wanted me to come on Sunday mornings, not unprepared, like totally. I still read the Word, still pray, still, you know, sing to the Lord, all those things, but I don't plan my message. And I wasn't really planning a full message before, but I would come, and during the week I'd get scriptures, and I'd kind of put scriptures together and kind of have a little bit of an idea of what I would share. Well, he asked me in June, I think May or June, that if he would allow me to just open my voice, and he said he would fill it. It's based on a scripture in Psalms, and that's the promise he gave me. So over the past 7-8 months. That's what I've been doing. And he's been faithful every single Sunday. Few Sundays, it's not been till like we've come into the worship time or prayer time. Most of the time, he's gracious, and he gives me a little bit of a head start, and I start getting it that morning. Well, this morning, I wasn't getting anything, and I was like getting nervous, you know, as always. It's like, can you imagine? Come up here, quarter till, you're supposed to preach till 2, and you don't have anything? I'm kidding, not till 2. Those visitors are like, what's going on? And so, I woke up and I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't really have anything here. And it's not like I fret because he's never, let me down. But it's just like, what's up? What are we doing here? It's like, what are we doing here, And I wasn't really, getting anything. I've been reading the book of 1 John, and I've been reading it just like nonstop. And I've been reading it in multiple translations. And I'm getting lots of revelation and understanding, but until I get like a go from him, he says, share this. It's just feeding my soul, and it's good stuff. I encourage you to read the book of 1 John. Read the whole thing. Don't just read the whole thing. Get it all in context, and it's a lot. But that's not what I'm preaching on. But anyway, so I'm just fixing some coffee, and it's probably about 4, and I'm just like, Lord, what's going on? And I'm, not really getting anything. So then my mind kind of just goes, start thinking of random things. All of a sudden, this little phrase comes to me. And it didn't come to me like in the full verse. And several times he does that. I don't know why he does it this way. But it was basically just a couple of phrases. And now I'm trying to remember what the phrase was. What am I preaching on, by the way? No, I know. Just kidding. It's Matthew 12:20, the verse, but it basically was a verse that I thought I knew. I mean, I thought I'd read it multiple times, and I thought I understood the context, thought I understood what it meant, or maybe I just assumed that. And today he revealed to me that's not the case at all. But he said a bruised reed will not break, and I thought bruised reed will not break, and I just it was random. I have random thoughts. I do. It's like, and I mean, that are biblical sometimes, but so I just kind of set it aside. And about another hour and a half later, I was listening to worship music, and it came to me again. I said, okay, well, that's twice now. And I wasn't trying to think of it. And so I think it was about another 45 minutes passed, and I was listening to some really good worship music. Dustin Smith, by the way, if you guys want to hear some amazing worship music, you might want to write that down, Glenn. Glenn's always. Especially the Healing Waters CD, because it's him playing music, worshiping. I know, we're random here. Playing worship. But every like third or fourth song, it's prophetic spoken words. It sounds like they're having a prayer meeting like what we have. And it's about healing, restoration, life. It was just wonderful. And so Dustin Smith, Healing Waters. Anyways, listen to that. And then it just dropped to me again. Bruised reed will not break. And I'm like, and it actually was just reed will not break. And I'm like, okay, so what are you saying, Lord? Because that's the third time. So I looked up the scripture and I read it. And I read it as I had read it before. And I read it in a couple different translations. And it's actually from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, I think. We'll get to it. And so I read it there, and I just was kind of comparing the two, like I do, because I started looking a little bit at the Greek and the Hebrew, and then I needed to, I think I actually, believe it or not, I kicked back and laid back a little bit and just listened to Jonathan David Helser, yeah, which is another great album, and I thought I was just going to go to sleep, but I heard every song, and so just kind of meditating on the Lord and just worshiping him. And then I said, okay, I need to get ready. So I went and took a shower, and when I was in the shower, there's that shower again, which I have a million stories, not a million, but I have a lot of significant stories. So the Lord started like putting in my heart, do you really know that verse? And I said, well, what do you mean? And it's like, started asking me the way that I understood it. And so I started thinking about it. I said, wait a minute, that's not talking about Jesus. And Let's read it, because now you're like really confused. I see a couple people about ready to leave, so let's not have you leave yet. So It will be. I think it will be good once God is allowed to speak. Because right now I'm just rambling. So yeah, thank you. Let me set the stage for this, because what happened is Jesus had just healed a man with, I believe it's the withered hand. Let me double check. I read it this morning early, so. Deformed hand. Heals a man with a deformed hand on the Sabbath day, which was a no-no back then because you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And Jesus reminds him, listen, healing a person on the Sabbath day is not work. It's good. He says, you would get your ox out of a hole he fell in it, or you'd give your horse some water. I'm paraphrasing now. It doesn't say that. But basically, you're going to take care of an animal. How much more valuable is this Son of God, this child of God, this even son of Abraham, I think he says, here right now than those animals? And so Jesus heals him, of course, and then the Pharisees and Sadducees are ready to, to do a number on him. And then it says that they plan on killing Jesus. That's what it says in verse 14 of Matthew 12. Then it says here on verse 15, but Jesus knew what they were planning to kill him. He left that area, and many people followed him. He healed all the sick among them. How many know that that would be really cool on a day if we come to church and he heals all the sick among us? It's possible. I think it's our future. Yeah, because what did it say? Healing us now, right? Just need to agree with what he's already done. Then it says, but he warned them not to say who he was. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah concerning him. Look at my servant whom I have chosen. He is my beloved, and I am very pleased with him. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, by the way, if you're wondering. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not fight or shout. He will not raise his voice in public. He will not crush those who are weak or quench the smallest hope until he brings full justice with his final victory, and his name will be the hope of the world. So, that doesn't even give the way the verse was presented to me this morning. In verse 20, in the New King James, or King James is very close to it too, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. How many of you know that when you read the word, you can read the word with preconceived ideas? You can... Come on. Wow, that hit home. You want to testify? That sounded like... Yeah. But I mean, you can look at the word and you can have experiences, you can have teaching from others, and you read it from a certain perspective. And I've read this in Isaiah, and for some reason... and if this is just me and you're saying, Pastor, you really need some help here, but... I've read that whole thing was talking about Jesus. That for some reason, when I would read that, I would read this, that he will not quarrel nor cry out, verse 19, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. It's like I read it, he won't break. And then a smoking flax he will not quench. And I read it like he won't be quenched. And till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. That's not what it says at all. And for some reason, the Lord wanted me to wake up to this today. Now, see, I think this is really cool. I don't know if you guys think this is really cool, that I don't plan this. I don't look for something. God gives this to me. So if you think about this, this must be pretty important then. It must be pretty important what he's trying to say. And so I'm going to pray right now and say, Lord, I want to hear what you want to say out of this. You guys with me? Because if this is truth that if we know it will make us free, man, some of us could leave today and never be the same. Because truth will make you free. And if you get an experiential knowledge of it where you say, oh, that makes sense, and it clicks, man, you could be up here next week. I'm not kidding. God could do something. You could be like Brother James, man. I feel God, moving. The Spirit of the Lord could come upon you, and you could just start prophesying to us. and we could receive something new that day from God. So it's not about me. How many have heard me say it? But it's not about me. I may be, you know, standing on a pulpit, and I may be up higher today. I just felt like I wanted to do the study. This isn't, you know, I know some pastors say, well, don't get, you know, sit down or what, get on their level. You know, it's like, I'm on your level. I mean, I'm you, really. You know, I'm just in a position that God's given me through his grace to help lead us to where God wants us to go. But we're a community of believers. You know, there's no pecking order here. You guys are just as important in this kingdom of God that he's let us be a part of as a family as I am. I have a grace to do what I'm doing, but it doesn't make me any better or any more promoted than you. In God's eyes, we are all on equal ground. So in our eyes, we should all be on equal ground. We should not have this, oh, he's the pastor. It's like, I'm a brother. I'm in a pastor position, and I will love you as a pastor. I'll be there for you if you need me. I mean, but it doesn't make me any better than you. So, that's my phone went off. Got to flip the no sound, don't I? Couldn't blame Lynette. Lynette has the same or whatever. I can't even make the sound. It's like a little Tweety bird. Or it could be you, Eric, too. No, yours is off. See, I'm no different. I mean, I do the same stupid things as everybody, you know. Is Braden here? I said stupid. Oh, is he here? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. He must have a really low value of me sometimes when I say stupid so much. They say, don't say stupid. And pastor gets up here and says stupid 3 times in a sermon. He's listening, so. Okay. Yeah, this is going to be good. Just trust me, because I can tell. Gay said, oh, pray. Gay's telling me, don't get distracted. No compromise. Honey, it's there. I'll tell you. It really is. Don't worry. Lord, we thank you, God, that this message is not up to me, Lord. Thank you, God, that even in my inadequacies, Lord, in my rabbit trails that I sometimes take, Lord, I know, Holy Spirit, that you can speak to us. Lord, we want to hear the truth today. Lord, we don't want to hear man's impression. We don't want to hear what we think, Lord, you're trying to say. Lord, we want to hear what you're saying. And Lord, we want to receive what you're saying, God, so that we can grow, become all that you want us to be. We want that abundant life that Jesus promised. That you said, Lord, that the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came to give us abundant life. Abundant life. Lord, we want to receive that. And all that that brings, Lord. Not just feeling good, Lord, but literally having something to give others, Lord. Having that abundant life, Lord, flowing out of us, Lord, as rivers of living water unto others, Lord. Not just our own joy, Lord, but joy that we bring to the world, Lord, that desperately needs you. Needs the truth, Lord, to help them, Lord, know how to be free and live free. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, God, for popping up into my head this morning with this word and letting it be, Lord, something that's going to be amazing, amazing, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. So turn with me now to Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. I think it's appropriate that we read this from the actual place it was pulled from. And all of Isaiah's 42 is good. You know, I read most of it this morning. So it's Isaiah 42. Isaiah is about 2/3 away through your Bible. Here it is. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. This is talking of Jesus. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Notice, remember, the reference that Matthew was using is where Jesus was telling people not to go and speak about him, what he was doing, to keep it quiet. He said it strongly to them. Don't go tell anybody about this. And so this is to fulfill this verse that says, he will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged. I love that, that he's not failing or becoming discouraged, that he didn't. And I believe he's not doing that in our lives now. That same heart that he had then, he has for us now. Till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. And you can read this in multiple different translations. Okay, just hit your back key now, and you can go right back to, for those of you using your Bible on your iPad like me, you can do that. But you can turn your pages back. To verse 20. So, a bruised reed he will not break. Now, this is speaking of Messiah, Jesus, the way that he will respond to something that he sees. A bruised reed. Now, that word reed, I looked it up in the Hebrew, can also mean branch. And it can mean like a fractured branch or a blistered branch or a branch that's almost broken. So what this is saying is when Jesus, the Messiah, who has this heart of humility, this heart of love, sees a bruised or fractured branch, he won't break it. Oh, man, that's good news. So you guys don't got it yet, do you? Let's read the next one. Then it says, and smoking flax he will not quench. Now that really sounds weird, doesn't it? Smoking flax. Maybe that's why I never got this. Smoking flax? Yeah, it sounds like something, you know, that you would do in the Old Testament. And, you know, I don't know, you know. And so when you study this out, flax is basically a wick. Flax is basically a candle. So, and it means a dimly lit candle. So a smoking candle, you know, candles when they're smoking, they're about to go out. It says that a smoking candle or a dimly lit candle, he's not going to put out. Now, you guys getting this? This is good news. This is good news. He's talking about his heart towards us. Because, folks, we're the broken branches. It says that he's the vine, we are the branches, right? We're connected, and we're the branches. He sees a broken branch. He sees a branch that's having a tough time. See, a branch that's been busted up with life. Hey, guys, he's not going to finish it and break it off. He's not going to break you off. He is for you. He is not against you. He is for you. He's not against you. He's not going to see and go, oh, man, you let yourself get like that? Well, I'm just going to pop you off and let this tree with these other branches grow healthy, and you're not going to suck anymore. He's not saying, you're a sucker, I'm going to break you off. Or that little light of yours, maybe it isn't shining too bright right now. Maybe you're saying, oh man, those people that came up here, they were so on fire, but I couldn't even get the courage to step up here. You know, if you couldn't get this courage to step up here, you don't need to worry about it, because he got the courage to step towards you today. See, it's not how much we love God. Don't ever think it's about how much you love God. Read 1 John. It's not that we love him, but that he loved us. And he demonstrated that love by sending his son. Don't you ever sell yourself short saying, I can't love God enough. Because you'll never love God enough. There's one thing I've learned this year. It's not about how I love God. It's about how he loves me. It's amazing. The more I realize how much he loves me, the more I can love him back. You try that. You try just saying, man, Lord, I don't know why, but you love me. I receive that love, and help me to display that love the way I live. And he'll do it. But the more you determine, I'm going to show God how much I love him, as Peter did. I'm going to die with you, Lord, if I have to. You'll be the one that betrays him, denies him 3 times. So listen to this. God's heart is for you. It's not against you. He will not see this reed that's been trashed by, I believe, the enemy of our soul comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one who's made you look like that. He doesn't see that and say, I'm just going to rip that one up. Or he doesn't see that candle that's just about to go out and just go. No, he sees that and he says, what can I do to let that become what it needs to be? So I believe he brings a salve. He brings the wrappings. He helps restore that branch, that reed, to a place of life. And he explains how he does it here, this next verse, or this next part of the verse. Till he sends forth justice to victory. Now that sounds really odd. Very, very poetic, but it doesn't really describe what's going on here. And I'll tell you what, this could be controversial because I have looked at almost every single major translation and I've not seen it translated the way that I'm going to talk to you back to you. So you're going to need to get into the Hebrew, possibly the Greek, to see the same, because I think there's more that's going on here than meets the eye, and I think the Lord wanted to show it to us. So if I go back to Isaiah, real quick, you guys don't have to go, but just hang on here. This is how Isaiah put that verse. He will bring forth justice for truth. Now, it is saying the same thing. It's just using different words. And so that word truth is being translated victory in the New Testament, or it's being displayed as victory. This word justice, though, can really be the confusing word. Because if you don't know the root of that word and what it's saying, you don't get the truth of that whole verse. Are you guys following me? So here it is. This word justice actually means judgment. And it means the kind of judgment that is given when a verdict is being delivered. When a criminal could then be condemned with his sentence. That word justice doesn't mean like, you know, God's justice will be done. It literally means that God is passing judgment so that justice will be done. God is condemning the one who has broken that law and has been caught breaking that law and is now standing guilty for breaking that law. So listen to this. Back to Matthew. But you're probably still there. It says this way. Till he sends forth justice to victory is the way it says. So it would be like till he sends forth judgment to victory, which really doesn't make much sense if you read it that way. But I believe the way that it's supposed to come out is that there's battered lives, there's destroyed lives, there's lives that have gone through life and have suffered sin because of the fall of man, and they're in a broken state, they're in a crushed state, they're in a you know, are they going to make it state? They're little dim lights about to go out. There are lives that are just on the very brink of maybe going into oblivion without hope. And it's saying that Jesus will not put them out. He won't throw them out. He's not gonna just bust them and write them off. He's not gonna do that. Because he is going to break forth with a victorious, I believe, life lived is what it was. You have to almost fill in the blanks. Jesus lived a life that fulfilled the law. He lived a life that fulfilled our punishment. He lived a life that fulfilled our ability to be reconciled to God, to be counted as righteous to God. Jesus lived a life that ended our judgment. Judgment has been swallowed up in a victorious life, is what it's saying. See, that same word is used when it's talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when it's talking about this mortality is going to have victory because of our eternal life and because of our immortality body that we're going to get. It's using that same type of victory. What it's saying is that God's wrath that he wanted or had to dispose upon man because of the fallen nature is abolished now in Christ. And so now that crushed, bruised reed, now that flickering light of a candle can have life.
That's so good.
That's you and that's me. This is again validating the nature and the heart of Jesus. And I believe validating the nature and heart of God towards us. Doesn't matter how bad your life is. Now you may say, well, I've been in Christ and I've made mistakes and I've done things that, you know, that God can't forgive me of. No, that's what it's saying. You haven't. You say, you know, my light's about to go out. I'm about to, you know, just walk away from the faith because everything just has gone against me. Nothing's been for me. And you just have this perception that you're not going to make it. And Jesus is not going to be the one to put you out. That condemnation that you carry because of those things that you've done or because of the situations that life has brought to you is destroyed in Christ. He is victorious over our condemnation. That word in the Greek can literally mean judgment, can mean condemnation. A judgment being brought against us. Come on. This is like running. This is like shouting news. This is like stand up on your chair news. This is saying that, you know, that when it says in a court, you know, will you tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the whole truth, you know, so help you God. And then, you know, what you say will be held against you. It's not going to be held against us. God does not hold our trespasses against us. He does not use it as leverage against us to make us, you know, do the things that he wants to do or wants us to do. God loves us. This is speaking of a heart of love. This is speaking of a heart of compassion. This is speaking of a heart of restoration. He wants your life so restored. He wants you in a place of so much confidence in how much he loves you and how much he is for you, not against you. Realize, there's therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation. There's no judgment. Till he sends forth or breaks forth justice to victory. I'm going to use the believe it or not, the Bible in basic English was the closest I could come to what it was saying. That's Isaiah. Hang on a second here. For those of you who have multiple translations, it says it this way. Till he has made righteousness overcome all. What he has is full righteousness. When he was on the earth, he had full righteousness. There was no sin. There was there was nothing in him. There was no darkness in Jesus. He was 100% God, 100% man, but he was holy in that state. Don't ask me how he did it. He did it. He fulfilled what needed to be fulfilled as a man. But he was God doing it. Some people say, well, Jesus used all these God powers, so it was really easy for him to live this life. That's the whole point. He was God, but he chose to use the same powers that we have available. He didn't pull some trump card and say, okay, now this is how I'm going to get it done, is with this extra power in my back pocket that won't be available to them. Or is never, you know, that's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus used every resource that we have available to walk that holy, pure, righteous life. Amen. And because of that, his righteousness crushed condemnation. See, in the kingdom of God, condemnation doesn't exist at all anymore. If you're condemned, that means if you're thinking that you're too bad to be loved by God, or you're too bad to be loved by somebody else, or that you've done too much to be, you know, even be accepted in any kind of circle of anybody else, or be accepted in, you know, if you're basically putting yourself down to the place where you can't move ahead, that's condemnation. And Jesus crushed it. He did. He destroyed it. So if you've got condemnation, you've got something you're not supposed to have. Just as if you're living in sin, you're doing something you don't have to do. There's freedom. Yes. It's about saying yes. It's not about saying yes in my own power. It's only saying yes in what he's done and receiving it. I don't care how broken you are right now. I don't care if you're a twig that's about to fall off the vine. You're going, man, I'm not going to make it. I've just got like a little strand. Jesus is able to come pick you up, wrap you up with his power, and restore you 100%. As long as you're connected, there's hope. And my Bible says he never leaves me or forsakes me. So I don't care how hanging on you think you are by a thread. As long as there's a thread, you're okay. That means you're living. As long as you're standing upright and breathing. Even if you're not sitting, if you're hearing me on the internet, you're laying back in your bed and you can't get out of bed. As long as you're breathing, you've still got that breath that God breathed in you into Adam, and you're still exhaling it. The life of God, we live and move and have our being in him, whether you know him or not. As long as there's that hope, or as long as there's that thread, there's that hope in you. We've got to believe God. It's that simple. Stop believing the lies that are all around us. Stop believing the false evidence that keeps appearing real, which is fear. Perfect love, man, casts out fear. Anytime I start feeling any kind of insecurity or shakiness or anything, you know what I start doing? And Gay's probably heard me on the outside. I start, oh, you love me. Sounds really silly. You love me, God. Last night I was doing the dishes, and I sang it here this morning, and it really released something when I sang it. But I started singing, your love is amazing. Your love is amazing. Your love is amazing to me. And I start singing about his love to me. My insecurities go away. My fears go away. My inhibitions go away. That's the only reason I can come up here and preach with nothing. Because in him, I have everything I need. I'm never in want. And you have everything you need. You never have to be in want. You never have to even consider the fact that the cupboards are empty. Really? I'm just speaking truth now. Yeah, true story. True that, right? Yeah, got the t-shirt on that one. This is a great day. I believe 2013 is going to be eclipsing 2012. You guys know what that means? In other words, it means that it's going to put 2012 in a shadow because of what God's going to do in 2013. I don't have like a word for 2013 yet. I may not have a word for 2013. God gave me something for 2012, but let him give you the word for 2013 for your life. That'd be more important. Where you can say, God, this is what you promised in my heart you're going to do in my life, my family's life. Now we receive it. Let's walk in it together. Not in my own strength, in your empowerment, in your grace. Wow. Bruised reed he will not break. And I never... never leave my mind from now on. Never leave my heart. Anytime I start thinking that it's getting too tough, I'll remember, no, he's not going to break me. It's the thief that's beat me up, tried to steal, kill, and destroy. But God's come to give me life and life abundantly. And I receive that life. I receive that life. I receive that life for you as much as I can help you by faith. Because I believe that you sometimes don't see how much God loves you. Even though I don't see how much He loves me, I sometimes can tell. I see how much He loves you more than you see it. And just know He loves you. He loves you. Each and every one of you. I could look at you in the eye. Say it. The Father loves you. If you just realize you're loved by God the Father, not just God, that God loves me. No, God the Father loves you. And He's not just the Father. God, your Father, loves you. And He demonstrated that love for us, that He gave His only Son. Don't forget that. And His Son is for us, man. He is so for us. He's not going to push you away. He's not going to condemn you. You might get some conviction, because I think conviction's a good thing. Conviction's just saying, you know what? That's not the way you need to live. It's not, oh man, you're terrible for doing that. No, conviction says, my child, that's not the way you need to live. I expect more from you because my Spirit's in you. I live inside of you. I expect you to do really well. That's conviction. Condemnation is like, you blew it. Now get out of my sight. Anybody ever heard that before? If you think you're hearing that from God, Davina, I don't care. Even if it's during a spiritual moment when you are feeling in the Holy Spirit, the devil can come and try to speak a lie to you. Well, it doesn't go in the Holy of Holies. I don't believe that. He did that. Well, I don't want to get into doctrinal thesis. But anyway, if you're going back to the book of Job, I think Satan's not like got that kind of access anymore. See, it says that he was made basically a public display that he was defeated. So I don't think he has the power that we think he has the power anymore. I really don't. To us, he should be quaking in his boots, folks. Because if he's dealing with us, he should be dealing with God. Because there's no difference. If you could start seeing yourself that way, that you're in Christ, Christ's in you, you're in God, God's in you, Holy Spirit's in you, Holy Spirit's God. When he deals with you, he's dealing with God. So if he does something against me, you know what he's responsible to for? It's not just, I got a big brother. They'll beat him up. And you know what the big brother and Jesus gave me authority to do? Was to rebuke him. Submit to God and resist the devil. He has to flee. So I know what you're saying there, but I don't think he has the face-to-face he used to. At least that's my belief. I believe that he's a defeated foe. He's on his last days, and he's fighting with like on life support, trying to keep us thinking that he's all that bad. Now to the world, who he continues to lie and keeps in darkness, and he's got all kinds of power. He did in my life before I received the light. But after the light, his powers are broken. They're broken. If anything touches me, it's because God's allowed it to touch me, and it's for his glory. But it's not because he's bigger than God, or that he's getting the upper hand. So there's a little teaching there too. So keep this in mind. Go home and read this. Has anybody else like had new revelation today? Isn't that amazing? How good God is? And I just thought, Jesse, it was so funny that what did he bring it back to? His love. His love. Read an Old Testament Isaiah prophetic verse, and it really comes down to God loves us. And he's just given us everything we need to live for him. Isn't that great news, Roger? Man, what a time to be alive. What a time to be able to say that you're a child of God. Man, yes, you are a child of God, Davina. And God's going to use you for his glory. Not in a mean way, in a great way. He's going to bless you and bless others. Because your heart's after him, hon. You can't help but receive goodness from God when you're chasing him like you are. So just be encouraged. Be encouraged. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? Do we have a song that would go with this verse? A bruised reed. You throw something together. No. Nick's like, help me. He's really asking for something weird. No, a good song. They're all good songs, but I mean. Okay, a bad song. That's fine, too. Did I throw you off there? Or
no.
You guys are good? Okay. Yeah. Nick's got a big smile on his face. You're good. I'm going to pray, and then you guys can play. Lord, I thank you, God, for your word today. And Lord, we know that you don't bring a revelation like this just out of the blue for nothing, just to impress us. Lord, you're trying to show us something. You're teaching us something, Lord, so that we can walk more like you, so that we can be more like you want us to be, so that the lies of this earth are crushed under the truth of your word. So, Lord, I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that the word that has been planted, the truths that have been planted, will produce the fruit that you desire in my life, in our lives as believers. I bless my brothers and sisters today. Lord, I speak blessing over their life. God, I speak revelation into their hearts. I speak truth of the word of God into their lives, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that they see differently. They hear differently. Lord, they live differently, God, because they know you more. Lord, let the knowledge of the Lord flood their souls. Let the knowledge of their Lord fill their hearts. Let the knowledge of their Lord guide and direct their lives. Bless them in their workplaces, God. Lord, with favor from their bosses, favor from their clients and their co-workers, God. Favor, Lord. I speak favor over your people, God. Lord, let this year be a year of the favor of God resting upon us, Lord, in such a way, God, that we can help others, Lord, receive your love and favor. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us as your people. And we're not finished yet, God. We're just getting started, Lord, at what you're doing here. And Lord, we say, keep it up. Keep doing it. Keep challenging us. Keep shifting our stuff, Lord, if necessary, God. Rearranging our rooms, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see you clearly. In Jesus' name.
Sing the splendor of the King. The splendor of the King. Clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself. He wraps himself. Darkness tries to hide, it trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God, say with me, how great is our God, and all will say, how great. Great is our God. Age to age, age to age, he stands. The time is in his hand, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The God in three in one. Father, Spirit, Son. He's the Lion and the Lamb. He's the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great. Our God, and all will say, how great, how great. God, sing with me, how great is our God. And oh, say, how great is our God. Come on, you're the name above all names. Yeah, you're the name. You're the name above all names. You're the name above all names. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will say, how great is our God.
Thank you, Lord. I sense in the spirit, Pastor Gay really feels that if you would like a blessing prayed over you, just a blessing, pastors or those who feel full of faith to speak life over someone's life, that you could come up. But before that, I really sense that there's someone here, maybe a few of you, that when you heard about that branch that had been broken, that branch that had beat up, that branch that had been shredded to pieces, maybe just dangling and hanging there, that you felt that was you. You identified with that in your heart, and you said, "Oh, can I be changed? Can I be made whole? Can God really do that?" And I want to encourage, if that's you, if you would come up now by faith, I believe that because you're sensing that, because of this message, that God's going to heal you in a way that only He can heal you. Only He can touch you. So if that's you, if you relate to that, that you feel like you're a broken branch, or you're maybe a life that's just hanging on by a thread, I encourage you to come up, and God will touch you in such a way that you won't be the same. You will not be the same. Anybody else? Just feel like you're having a tough time, and things just are not going the way that you know God would have them go. Or maybe you don't know God at all, and you just know that your life needs help. Major help. Recreation. That's who God is. He's in the recreation business. Restoration business. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While they play, I'm just going to come, lay hands on you, and just believe that God's going to do a restoration, a healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
You're the name above all names, Jesus. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. else can love you like I love you, Lord. I was made unique in your to bring you joy. No one else can love you like I love you, Lord. I was made unique in your was made to bring you joy. No one else love you like I love you, Lord. I was made unique in your, was made to bring you joy. And no one else can love you like I love you, Lord. I was made unique in your, was made to bring you joy. Now I have a purpose, now I have a destiny. You made me for your glory, you made me for your glory. Now I have a purpose, and now I have a destiny. You made me for your glory, you made me for your glory, Lord. God.
All right, so I'm still going to do the greeter thing right here. So if that's you, come hang out with me for a few minutes and we'll get you going. Greeter meeting. There you go.
This is an F sharp. What?